Now, it's a commonly held thought, and certainly something I quite believe, that the earlier you start to learn another language, the better you're going to be at speaking it. But we're seeing some results out of a university in Germany that are kind of suggesting this might not always be the case. Now, the study compared two groups of students, and some started learning English as a second language in first grade, and some started learning in the third grade. They then jumped forward a few years, and by the seventh grade, it was observed that the third grade starter students were actually better at English as a second language. It's an interesting result, and to get a bit more focus on it, I'm joined by Peter Roger. He's the head of the Applied Linguistics Department at Macquarie University. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Now, I am surprised by these results because, you know, conventional wisdom has always been start learning a language early if you want to be good at it.
That's exactly right. And I think that, as you say, it's conventional wisdom, or sometimes called folk wisdom. And all of us can think of examples of people around us where it seems very obvious that if you start learning a language really early, you become very good at it, much more than is the case if you start learning the language later. I think the real key here is when we look at language learning, we're often looking at people learning language in a naturalistic setting or in a second language environment where the language is all around them. Whereas if they're learning language in a foreign language environment, where it's mostly offered to them only in classrooms or an instructional setting, then the results can be quite different.
So there is a big difference between that classroom environment and that natural environment in the way we learn, is there?
That's right, yes. So it's true that in a second language environment, the early start is a big advantage. And this can also be the case in foreign language environments. But when your exposure to the language is largely limited to what happens in the classroom and you're not interacting outside the classroom using that foreign language, then it depends a lot more on the actual amount of exposure that the educational system can offer you, and also the quality of the teaching and the appropriateness of the materials for young children. So if the amount of exposure is very limited, say 40 minutes a couple of times a week, and students are working with materials that are not particularly engaging, then the advantages of an early start really evaporate, and there's not really much to be gained at all, except for perhaps an appreciation of the fact that different languages work different ways and different people speak different languages around the world.
It's funny you mentioned the potential lack of engagement because, of course, many decades ago when I was in high school, languages were taught in possibly the most boring fashion possible, very much rote repetition. Have we changed the way we teach languages?
I think in some parts of the world, certainly that's the case. But in other parts of the world, it isn't. And it's really a pity, I think, when you just often see young children quite naturally curious about, different ways of speaking and different cultures. But if they're presented with the foreign language in a fair, as you say, boring or non-engaging way, it kind of knocks the excitement out of it, so that by the time they've got to late primary school or high school, they think, oh, this is just another subject and I can't really see how it could be of any use to me, which is a real pity. But I think in some parts of the world, certainly, people are paying a lot of attention to what can be achieved at younger ages in terms of really engaging the children and igniting a lifelong interest in language learning.
Well, certainly Australians tend to, we head over to Europe and we're absolutely stunned when we meet people who can speak 3, 4, 5 languages.
Yes, that's right. I've experienced that myself. And I think in certain parts of Europe, particularly the best-known examples are countries in Scandinavia and also countries like the Netherlands, where exactly what you say seems to be very obvious. And I think in these countries, the key factors here would be the continuity of language programs, say, between primary school and secondary school. So in some countries, perhaps in Australia, we have some really good language programs for children. But if you look at the opportunities for people to continue language study in a smooth, coordinated sort of way through the whole school system that's perhaps not as strong as it is in some countries in Europe. And also, I think the amount of exposure and the variety of exposure is really important too. So you, and also, I think another key factor in the European context, certainly in some countries, are prevailing societal attitudes to bilingualism and multilingualism. So in Australia, for example, there's no sort of general expectation that everybody should be able to speak more than one language. If you can, that's really wonderful. But if you can't, that's not unusual. But in many countries in Europe, it's kind of the expectation. And so when I was in Sweden, and people kept commenting to Swedish people that we met how wonderful their English was, their response was kind of like, of course we speak English. It was kind of expected, and I think those attitudes are really key to the way that people think about foreign languages and bilingualism, multilingualism.
Yes, those prevailing social norms are quite intriguing. Look, just finally, while we're sort of looking at sort of folk, conventional folk wisdom, putting it under the microscope, is it possible as an adult to learn a new language? I mean, we hear that it's so difficult, you'll only pick up a few bits and pieces here. Can the adult mind take in a brand new language?
That's a really interesting question. And it's you'd think that researchers would have come up with a definitive answer to it. But in fact, it's something that's still hotly debated in the literature today. There's no doubt that some adults, even when they start, say, in their 20s, from scratch, they can achieve levels of proficiency that are near native-like, if not absolutely native-like, very, very close. But usually those cases are the exception rather than the norm. So factors like individual aptitude and also the motivation and the particular approaches or strategies that that these learners adopt are something that people are studying to try and work out what distinguishes them from many adult learners who either give up fairly early on or reach only sort of modest levels of proficiency. But certainly it is possible, but it's a combination of things like the amount of exposure and the motivation and also the individual's ability to persist. But issues like aptitude really come into play as well. So that particularly for the ones who do really well as adult language learners, there's research that's looking at exactly what it is special about their brain, perhaps, that helps them when they have the strong motivation to translate that into really amazing proficiency gains.
Peter, an absolutely fascinating topic. Thank you for shedding a little light on it with Breakfast this morning. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Nick. It's a pleasure to talk about this.